This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervy.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, on this kind of Christmas weekend, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I say kind of Christmas weekend because we just had Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope everyone has had a great holiday and is enjoying the holidays. And I can see by the smile across from me, my guest co-host today, Jillian Barbary, with an illustrious career in radio and television.
I'm so happy to be back, Alan. Thank you. I had a great Christmas. I bought everything for myself. My kids are too young. My ex didn't buy me a damn thing when we were married. So I stuffed my own stocking and I'm used to it. It's fine.
You know, Jillian, you've been on the show with me a few times now.
Yes.
And you've talked a lot about your exes.
Correct.
It
I have
seems
two.
To be something that's always on your mind.
You know what, sweetheart? I sadly will never get married again. But the first was a Major League Baseball player, 7 years. I paid him alimony. Okay. I was on TV. He was Major League. I think the judge said whoever pays for the marriage, in other words, the mortgage, the heating, the whatever, pays for the divorce. For half the time you're married, I had no problem. 3.5 years, I wrote that check. Number two, the sniper, I had two kids with. The kids are now 11 and 13. I am jobless, and he is remarried, moved 10 hours away.
Well, you're here with us. Not saying you're jobless.
You know what? Thank you for saying that. And I love when you do have me in. But, you know, I'm so used to working 5 days a week and being the breadwinner. I supported him, of course, during the marriage. He remarried, moved 10 hours away, and he has a baby and a new house, and he's never paid any child support. So I'm sitting here going, what the? Am I doing things wrong?
Well, you may be able to find out today.
Yes!
You came by the correct show.
Did I?
For today's show, because we are so honored. And you know, I really love having Laura Wasser on the show. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you who don't know who she is, and I think everyone does,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a family lawyer, of course, one of the best lawyers in this country.
Absolutely.
She has represented celebrities like Kim Kardashian, Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris, Maria Shriver, Stevie Wonder, Angelina Jolie, Heidi Klum, Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Garner, Tom Cruise. When Laura's on the show, I usually see someone and she says, no, I didn't represent them. So there's someone in the list that she didn't represent. But let me talk a little bit about, you know, she was a consultant on the movie Liar Liar, and I know you're into movies,
yep.
with her father, Dennis Wasser, who's
also a
famed
lawyer.
Family law lawyer. She wrote a book, It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. Of course you read it.
Oh, boy.
She hosts a podcast, All's Fair with Laura Wasser. And if you don't listen to it, you need to listen to it. I think it's on a little hiatus now for the holidays. It'll be back. It's amazing. I love listening to it. And It's Over Easy is something that's been a mission of hers where there's uncontested mm-hmm. divorce. It's a process where you're an online divorce service. It's helped so many people. Last week, we had Frank Marshall on, who did a documentary on the Bee Gees.
Which was incredible.
Yeah. Frank Marshall started Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg and his wife, Kathleen Kennedy. And we were talking about disco all show because of the Bee Gees documentary that he did.
But also, if you don't even like disco, it's a great documentary because...
It is, but we're not...
Yeah.
Jillian, we're not talking about today.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Disso Queen. The Disso Queen, TMZ has called Laura Wasser the Disso Queen. And I want to tell you, with all of the accolades and with everything that she's done, she is so successful because she has a great heart. Take it from me. I have some personal experience knowing Laura that she is a really, really good person. And that's why she has made so many people happy by helping them out.
I know many of her clients, some famous, some not. They've all ended up very happy at the end of the day.
With divorce.
Well, yes.
Happy.
And that's a really hard thing to accomplish.
We need to bring Laura in here. We can't just keep talking. Laura, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Thanks for having me. What a nice intro, guys. I was wondering where you were going first. with the Christmas, because, you know, when you think divorce, you think Christmas, and then with the Bee Gees, which, and I agree, it was an amazing documentary, and so many people have said to me, why do they call you the disco queen? Aren't you a little bit young? So it's not disco, it's disso. Like dissolution.
Yes. Yeah,
and
exactly.
I told Frank Marshall that we were having you on the show this week, and I told him about you being the disco queen. He loved it. Mm. He got it. You know, he did shows like Indiana Jones and Back to the Future, the Bourne series. He was amazing, and he was just so impressed that you were called the Disso Queen, even though he was buddies with Barry Gibb when he did the Bee Gees.
A quick little personal story. I was dating someone who was very wealthy. He did a franchise, a movie series, long story. His wife was an agent to major movie stars, and he was in the middle of a very contentious situation. And we were dating.
I remember this.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I know who you're talking about.
He hired you, and I remember we went out to dinner, and he said, I got Laura Wasser. And I said, oh, you're going to be happy. And he certainly was. I also know Kim Kardashian. I've known her for 22 years. So I know, I wish I had you in my corner, in the sense that, you know, Christmas, and Alan and I were speaking about this. When I divorced, I'm easygoing. My ex is a sniper in the Marines, not so easygoing. So it was 50-50 on paper, but truly I've had them 90% of the time for the past 8 years. He, at Christmas, I get very, I don't have a family in this country. They're all in Canada. COVID has ruined everything. So I've been very easygoing. He's had my daughter, my son, for the last couple Christmases. I said this year, no, I need my children at home. So we don't speak. We haven't spoken to each other in years. We only email. That's how ugly and contentious it is. How do you navigate those waters? Because off air, I was talking to Alan and he said, I've never met you, but of course I know everyone who has used you. He said, you're very, it's the opposite of what you're like. I got a pit bull, I'm hoping, for child support because I don't get any. But you, Alan, you said what to me?
She can get what she wants by being kind and being good and being smart. And you don't always have to be yelling and screaming. Maybe you want to yell or scream, but Laura knows what she's doing, and that can get what
good
you
results.
Need, the best results.
Wow. So he paid you a big compliment, Laura.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. I mean, look, it is true, and I speak a lot with law students, particularly young women, but guys too. And it's so interesting because, you know, people always say, oh, she's a pit bull, and she's so tough, and she's a shark. But the people who know me generally say, that's so odd because you're so not. I really am, and I really do think that if you are in this field, you have to be a problem solver more than anything else. And, you know, getting into contest with the other lawyer or trying to put on a big show for your client in front of your client's spouse generally don't result in the kind of favorable, you know, resolutions that you want. So you have to make it make sense. And a really, really smart female mentor attorney said to me years ago, and I've always like thought of it, particularly when I'm speaking now with, you know, young attorneys and law students, you know, you don't have to yell and you don't have to scream. If you speak more softly, they will often lean in to hear what you have to say.
Wow.
And so again, in this field, which you guys both know, is so emotionally charged.
Oh.
If the lawyers can be the ones that kind of can speak more quietly, calm people down, be a voice of reason, I find that's really helpful. I also say to people, I mean, you know, we charge a lot of money. And I say to people, the more you argue, the more conflict there is, the more money I make.
Yes.
And I'm actually doing okay. I drive a nice car. My kids go to private school. I don't need more money. I'd love for you to be able to settle.
Yeah.
And then refer other clients. And so I think that resonates with people. They're like, wow, she's actually telling me the big, you know, hint, which is if you resolve this, you will spend less money. And also there's less toxic aggravation. I mean, we know that too. When you're in the midst of it and you're having arguments with the person that was at some point the closest, the most intimate in your entire world, I think that it ties you in knots. I'm guessing, Jillian, that's why you and your ex don't speak. It's just too toxic.
Laura, it is completely toxic. I mean, he didn't even tell his family I had cancer. Like, it's like I don't exist, which is fine. But, you know, when I tell people I paid my first husband alimony, they're always taken aback. Do you find that's, I mean, I know why that is. It's because, you know, back in the day, men would marry, you know, their wives and the wives would have the kids and then he would be alone. lawyer, and then he would hit 45. Okay,
what?
He'd be messing around with the his assistant. Then he'd marry her. So he would take care of the wife. Well, things started to change when women like Laura, myself, doing broadcasting, we started coming up and making the money and becoming the breadwinners. So we sort of fell into that. I'm not talking about you, Laura, personally, but I did that. I had to pay alimony, mm-hmm. and I was completely fine with that because I am an equal opportunity woman. I believe we are equal to men, and so be it. So I paid that money. I had no problem. This is a very contentious one, number two. I call him number two. I don't know that you could easily talk to. It's a narcissist. It's a person who is controlling, and but I do want to seek out child support because I don't feel me not working anymore full time in television. It's fair that I am the person who takes care of the kids 95% of the time financially, and they are in private school, and I am working.
All right, Jillian, yes. Watch Laura take all of your yes. anger and anxiety and bring it into focus. Laura, go ahead.
Here's the thing. You have had a change of circumstances, and the cuts both ways, good and bad.
Yeah.
Thing about child support and child custody is that as our children get older and their needs change and our situations change, there may be a change of circumstances. So going back to their dad and saying, listen, I'm not working anymore. And look, I've had so many people call me and say this. So many people in your industry, in the entertainment industry, who have said, I cannot possibly continue paying the amount of child support or spousal support, for that matter, that I was paying because our entire industry has changed. Nobody foresaw that this was going to happen. Nobody thought we'd all be out of work for such a long period of time. And what I would say is, even though you guys don't get along well, and even though it's hard day to day, I would put together, even before you lawyer up, Jillian, some kind of an email that you read two or three times before you send it saying, these are our kids. This isn't about me or you. We need to put that stuff under the bridge. I want to be able to continue sending them to private school. I want to be able to continue driving them in an automobile that has good insurance and is safe. I want to be able, this is money, not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not getting my nails done with it or buying, Prada purses with it.
Yes.
I need your help for our kids. And putting it that way, I mean, again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Guy doesn't sound like the greatest guy in the world. But generally, people don't have as much of a problem, ponying up when it comes to their kids, especially when to date you've been the one who was the provider. And I think maybe he'll understand that if you don't throw it in his face much and say, I need a little help here. And if things go back to how they were, I'm happy to step up again.
Sure.
Interesting when you say he may not be the greatest guy in the world, but what you're talking about is the kids.
Well,
that's one thing that's so important as kids. Now, Laura, you've brought Jillian to tears. I have I'm not sure. I guess, that's something you're used to when you talk about these situations. You don't mind me saying that you're crying right now.
No.
I mean, it's really hard. And
it's, like she said, it's very emotional.
It really
and
is.
And when, he's moved away, he has a kid, he's got a $1 million home, he's 10 hours away. It's just, it's really, like you said, Laura, it's so hard and emotional. I've gone through cancer. I've gone through everything. And I've always been the rock for my kids. And it's hard. And when she says that their needs change as they get older, it's very true. My kids, I'm very easygoing. I'm loving. I'm easy to be around. It's different. He's military. And so when they go up there, it's like, sir, it's very regimented. It's just different.
Laura,
a little help every once in a while.
Jillian, sorry to cut you off. We need to take a break, but, I'm just sitting here listening. This is a perfect television show. I want to develop this. Laura will be watching. Jillian will be at her home hugging her kids, holding her kids, and crying with her kids. And then you'll go and cut to Jillian's ex, who will be, the kids will be calling him sir.
They say sir, they're not
and
allowed.
And he will not be touching them.
They're not allowed to go into the refrigerator without asking. They have to. They get room checks.
And just like
literally when they're doing
just like
Zoom.
The super nanny who has been on our show, by the way. I had my kids here when the super nanny was on the show. It was great.
Brilliant.
Just like that, Laura will be the super nanny for your marriage. What a
super
television
negotiator.
Show
yeah.
idea. Don't steal it. Don't steal it. Please.
Trademark
now.
All right, we've got to take a break. We're going to talk more to Laura Wasser after the break. You're listening to Curvy's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You better watch out. You better not cry.
like this. I just want to listen to it. But. Tommy T-Tone? Nice. Yeah, I like
Tommy
T-Tone.
So do I.
And I...
I love music. Music is wonderful. When you're going through hard times, whether it's divorce or cancer, you can really just...
Music is where it's at.
It really truly is.
We have so much to talk about with Laura Wasser.
Can I just interject one thing?
You absolutely can.
I told a few girlfriends today that I was going to be on the air with Laura Wasser, and they are just, you know, there have been many articles written about her. She's beautiful. She's smart, obviously. Dresses impeccably. And
don't forget the good heart.
But this is it. So they're all... these articles that have been written. You have so many female fans and male fans, no doubt. My ex-boyfriend was a huge fan of yours as he went through his very ugly divorce and you were representing him. But you have such a good reputation. And Alan and I were speaking in the break a little bit about divorce during COVID, divorce during the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas. How does one navigate those waters? Have they changed the way people do child support, or excuse me, custody battles?
Absolutely, because if you think about it, you know, generally, particularly if people aren't living in the same city or state or neighborhood, you will have kids that are going to their non-primary custodial parent for a chunk of the Christmas holiday, either the first, you know, half of winter break or the second half. Well, that's been really, really curtailed this year because people aren't traveling as much. You've also have kids that have been remote learning
yes.
since March. And now, you know, they're on break and their parents are like, well, that's just great. So they're all home and now they don't even have anyone babysitting them on the computer. It is definitely a really difficult year. People are sick. They are not getting together with family. They're not traveling. Although I have to say, I've been watching some of the travel reports, and it doesn't yeah. necessarily seem that people have dialed it back. We three are here in Southern California, which is like the epicenter right now, unfortunately, of COVID. And you have all of the stress and anxiety and uncertainty and sadness that have gone along with the past, you know, 9-some-odd months of this pandemic, really culminating in this Christmas where people are supposed to have a holiday spirit and trying to be, you know, kind to their fellow man or their exes or whoever. It's been very difficult. We have had really, really an uptick in litigation on the It's Over Easy website, which is people like coming to it together. There's been an uptick in sales. Generally, we see a big surge in January, which is people saying after the holiday, I cannot do this for one more day. You know, this is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 170 pounds and his name is Steve. I mean, absolutely. January is the month, but we have really seen in November and December of this year, people just saying, I can't take it anymore, which I find really interesting because we don't know how long this is going to last. Yes, people are getting vaccinated, but it's not like you can move out tomorrow. So you're now filing for divorce from someone that now you're still going to have to be quarantining with for another couple months.
Oh.
It's very, very difficult. And I have been doing a lot of referrals to mental health professionals, meditation apps, anything that you can do to kind of treat yourself to some peace is going to be very important. And like you were saying, Jillian, that sometimes just means having your kids and hugging them.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something you were saying before the break, because it's hard to see when it's happening to you. But I say this so often to my clients and friends. And when I'm speaking on one of the It's Over Easy blogs, think about the experience that your kids are having, having two households and parents that do things so differently.
Yes.
They really are, even if they may not always say it, so lucky because they're given an opportunity to really see how two very, very different parents
yes.
and households do things. And, you know, they'll play you guys against each other when they get to be a little bit older, trust me, because that's what my kids do with me and their two dads.
Oh,
but
dear.
It is very interesting, and what you guys are doing, unbeknownst to you, and certainly probably not on purpose, is really giving them some amazing tools to go into this world
thank
and
you
know
for
how
saying
to
that.
Deal with people.
I needed
it's
to
really
hear that.
True.
I really needed to
yes.
hear that because, you know, the truth is when they come home, they're like, oh, mommy, you know, we're so happy. They'll say to me, can I have something out of the fridge? I'm like, why would you ask me? Mommy, can I take a bath? Why would you ask me? It's your house. They say sir to me sometimes. I'm like, why are you calling me sir? They're like, oh, I'm sorry, mommy, you're mommy. So there is an adjustment period. But I will tell
yes.
you, I'm also thankful for his discipline because I am not. I am the lover. lover, the understanding one. I'm the one who, you know, we're total opposites. So I'm kind of glad that they do get that discipline.
Wait till the vaping begins, my friend.
Oh, God!
Just wait. And having that other parent who's the disciplinary badass sniper to call and or even to threaten, oh, wait till I tell your father about this.
Yeah.
That will really help. And it's good. There is, even if you guys aren't under the same roof, there will be times, maybe not always, where you guys will really think, wow, we're on the same team. Because you both want the same thing, which is well-adjusted, emotionally healthy, wonderful kids. And so you really do need to remember, and if you're writing the email about the child support, fit this in there, that he, you know, you guys have the same goals. You may get to them different ways, but knowing that you have each other's back as these kids grow up is really important. And as I said, my kids are a little older. They're 15 and 10. They have different dads. But boy, those dads, particularly at the holidays, they are so wonderful. I don't feel this way all the time. We have our differences, absolutely. But, you know, my mom passed away last year. They were both there for me in so many ways. This is your family.
Healthy. That's
different. It's a different family than what we grew up seeing.
Yes.
Just like, you know, we grew up seeing dads pay the support and the husband pay and the mom gets the house and the dad, you know, kids go with the dads Wednesday nights and then they came home all jacked up on, you know, Coca-Cola or whatever. It's not like that anymore.
No.
Times are different and we can make it what we want it to be. And you can take some of the crappy things and turn them into good things if you just kind of know what you're dealing with.
Well, wonderful advice. Thank you. I really did need to hear
There is some great advice in an article on E! Online with attorney Laura Walsh. It's called Co-Parenting in Quarantine, the 3 C's and More Essential Advice from Family Attorney Laura Walsh. Everyone needs to check it out because there's so many important things you talk about, Laura, when you talk about the 3 C's, consideration, cooperation, and communication.
Mm.
Talk a little bit. One thing that I found fascinating about the hypervigilance of trying to deal with the COVID and having a germaphobe as maybe a husband or a wife. And in your situation, when you talk about being able to be considerate and being able to cooperate when maybe you aren't as hypervigilant as your spouse is with respect to dealing with masking and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going out, I mean, look, I have not been going into my office very often at all since March. I can work from home. I'm really, really lucky. But one of my exes really works better in the office, needs to be there. And I said to him, look, it makes me nervous when you go in. Mm. And on the other hand, my other baby daddy, I call him two also, he's much, much more nervous than I am about it. And who's coming over and who are they seeing and what are you doing and whatever. So really having that aspect of consideration, maybe the consideration you didn't have during the relationship where you go, oh, whatever, and roll your eyes. Now this person isn't getting into bed with you every night. This is a person who you are somewhat at odds with in certain ways, but you have to consider his or her feelings and how nervous they are or who else is in their extended family. If there's an older, you know, parent that they're dealing with or a housekeeper or a nanny that's coming in the house, it's not just them and the kids. It's also the other people that could really, really be affected by somebody coming home with COVID. And so that consideration piece of it, and then the cooperation, which is, I get it. I understand. I'm being considerate of your feelings. Even if I don't feel them or even if I think they're stupid, I do understand. And I'm going to ask for that kind of consideration from you at some point in the future. And so I'll be able to cooperate. Let's maybe change this so there's not so much back and forth. Let's modify our schedule a little bit during this time. Maybe we can modify the support payments a little bit during this time to give you a bit of a break. And then the communication, really important. We are so lucky in this day and age that we have not only email and texting, but there's all kinds of co-parenting apps that you can go to really, really help how you guys get along with each other and that track your communication so that if it doesn't go well, there's a bunch of them.
Oh my gosh.
And they're awesome because, I mean, I always think of I had a case once where I was listening. My client was the dad and he said, listen to this. And he plays this voicemail. It's one of the old answering machines that, you know, you could just hear it throughout the house. And this lady, his ex, is going off on him. I'm just, profanities abound. You're horrible. You're this. You cheated on me. You were the worst husband. You're the worst father. And then she says, and everybody hates you. And as she's about to hang up, you hear in the background a little voice saying, I don't hate you, Daddy.
Oh!
The kid was there.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was there.
Wow.
And she was leaving this message.
Oh, my
okay?
God. What? That broke my heart.
What a jerk.
Both
right?
Exactly. You're crying again.
I'm crying again. I would never do that in front of my but Mike, probably we have to take a break, but I just quickly want to say, communication-wise, I sent about 5 emails saying, hey, look, you know, can you pay for half the books? Can you pay for half the uniforms? I've never done that. They're 13 and 11. And nothing. 5 emails, nothing. Do you know what I had to say, Laura? I had to say, I am going to hire a child support attorney. And then he emailed me back and he goes, fine. And he goes, I'll send the money. Ugh, you know, very angry. So we need one of those apps where we can talk.
Okay, we'll talk about a little bit more. We've got a little bit more with Laura after breakup. But, you know, I got to say that, Laura, I really feel bad you're not here because usually you come into the studio and you look fantastic. I love seeing what you're going to wear. But today, I wish you would be here just with some Kleenex or some tissues that you could give to Jillian.
No, I adore her from afar. I have for a very long time, and I feel like I do know her, and it's never affected me personally, but the things that you're saying resonate, and I think that that's super important. That's
all right.
Why.
Well, we want to talk about getting out of marriages easily after the break.
Okay.
It is over easy, but right now we need to take a break, and we'll be back with Laura Wasser right here on Gervie's Law right after this.
The intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's been so many ways. Feliz Navidad and happy holidays.
All right, well, I'm going to cut off this song because it's not one of my favorites. But anyway, you know, it's interesting. Jillian's had a tough time, but it's been very cathartic for her. She's been crying through the show, and it's very emotional.
Well, let me just say I've been laughing, too.
You have been laughing.
I told Alan.
I appreciate you wearing your heart on your sleeves.
Oh, you're sweet. I was telling Alan that in the break, I said, you know, I got a call 2 Januaries ago, and it was my ex-sister-in-law. And I said, hello, and she was crying. And I said, oh, my gosh, what happened? And she goes, you have cancer. And I said, oh, my gosh, my ex told you over the holidays. And she said, no, I found out on Facebook. So it's very...
Oh, my God.
I'm sure Laura has heard so many stories. But, you know, interestingly, earlier in the show, Laura talked about how, you know, she's obviously done well as an attorney. A lot of us have had some financial reward from being an attorney. But what's really telling is this quote that Laura said, and I want to just read it here. My entire career is based on problem solving, not crushing my opponent, which is one reason why I created an online resolution tool, It's Over Easy, to make it easier for people to be the masters of their own destiny rather than bankrupting themselves at the hands of attorneys who make money from prolonged conflict.
Which is her, and I love that idea.
I'm consistent, right, guys? I mean,
very, very consistent.
It's brilliant.
I can't cross-examine you, and I can't show the differences, the contradictions.
I love the honesty, though.
What's interesting, though, is that a lot of the divorces out there are not as difficult as what Jillian has gone through. And I'm sure, Laura, what you've dealt with. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the garden variety divorce that maybe people just aren't getting along and they can get out of it pretty simply without spending all
the
money.
Without bankrupting themselves, yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel like now more than ever, we are equipped to kind of deal with our finances. I mean, there's custody stuff that you have to deal with in a divorce if you have kids. And then you're dividing your assets. So that depends if you're in a community property state like California or an equitable distribution state. So you kind of learn what those things are. And then there's the support component. That's really it. And I don't mean to oversimplify, but the reason we created It's Over Easy is because at some point, and usually it's when people go through a divorce, they learn more about their finances than maybe they ever knew or wanted to know. But particularly women come in and say, oh, I never knew this. And I say, well, you'll never be in that position again. Now you know. Now you know what you spend. Yeah. You know what you earn. You know what you own, and you know what you owe. If you have debt, credit card debt, mortgages, etc. So I think it's really important. Once you know those like 4 things, you can really generally speak with your partner and make some kind of an arrangement that makes sense. And so if we were able to give the people the tools that they needed, a lot of people, again, particularly now, not just COVID, but because we have such a higher level of technological intelligence now. People are much more willing to do their taxes online. We date online. We you know, do all kinds of things online better than having to go valet park at somebody's office, go up to their office, yeah. paying whatever it is per hour to have them kind of talk down to you. Go on to It's Over Easy. Learn. We help you learn what the law is in your state. Fill out the forms. Talk to your spouse. Because again, in most divorce cases, and particularly if you have kids, you're going to know this person for the rest of your life. So it's not one of those ones where you can like throw a Molotov cocktail over and just, you know, burn the house down. You're going to have to deal with him or her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to come up with a settlement? There's no like big winners in a divorce case. You're dividing a pot of money and then future earnings. So come up with a settlement that makes sense, that if you need to at some point modify it or revise it, you can. And absolutely figure out how to do it without bankrupting yourself. It just made so much sense to me, particularly after I wrote the book, and so many people had been asking for something like this. I really would like to change the way we approach divorce. I think it is so much healthier for our kids and ourselves. And I don't know. I mean, Jillian, yeah. Alan, you guys tell me, you think human beings, all of us, were meant to mate for life? Because it sure doesn't seem that way looking at the statistics.
It sure does not. I look at people like Alan. I see people that have been married, gay couples. My straight couples.
Okay, but you just said forever. You look at Alan and you see gay couples that have been married.
No, I'm sorry. I skipped that. People like you.
I'm
not
Alan.
Coming out on this show.
No.
Sorry.
But if you ever do, let it be with me, please, because, you know, I love my gays.
Okay, so, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, but my point is that it can happen. And when I see it, it's like a unicorn. I'm like, how have you been married for 40 years? How have you been married for 20? I did 7 and 7. And I don't know about the 7-year itch, but it is, you know, happy marriages to me are like a unicorn. And when I say to my friends, I'm never marrying again, they'll go, oh, but you will. I go, bite your tongue. Stop it. No, you're not going to change my mind. I've had 2 absolutely horrible experiences, but I do have 2 incredibly beautiful children. And
right.
So,
as does Laura.
Exactly. Yes. And I look at that. I read your book. I did not know about this website. It's absolutely brilliant. And
you're talking about It's Over Easy.
Absolutely.
It'soverEasy.com.
It'soverEasy.com. I just think that, you know, I look at my life and I think I'm so grateful for these 2 incredible human beings. And thank you for mentioning about the 2 different households and how I think it's going to affect them. You know, I really think that's important. They are growing up with very different people. And as you said, Laura, it's so funny you mentioned this is one person in your life. At some point, you thought they were your unicorn. They were everything. You wanted them so much, you thought, I'm going to marry them and stay with them the rest of my life. And it doesn't work out like that.
Yeah.
So when it doesn't, you need help. And your book helped me tremendously. There were so many different things I went through and I'm still struggling with. But your approach is incredible. And I say that because you're super successful. You're wealthy. You've done your thing. You've worked your ass off. But you're also saying to people, listen, you don't have to come to a person like me and spend all your money.
If you can't listen to Gervie's Law all the time and hear Laura Wasser, you can go back into the archives and hear All's Fair with Laura Wasser on iHeartRadio, the podcast. A great job. I listen to it often. I know you're on a little bit of a hiatus now, but there's so many great shows that people can listen to, Laura.
Yeah, we started with Divorce Sucks, and then we moved it to All's Fair, and I can't remember how many episodes there are all in all, but they're all available on Apple Podcasts, and it really is kind of just a continuation of conversations that Johnny, who hosts it with me, and I have had over the years about human relationships, because they're fascinating. They're fascinating to everybody. They're particularly fascinating to me. And it's not, you know, All's Fair in Love and War, not just about divorces and breakups. It's also about relationships between siblings and parents and children and partners at work. And it's so interesting how we interact with people. And when you examine it and you kind of look at how just a simple change in how you approach somebody or how you talk to them or the way that you speak, we have such interesting communications via text messages and people say, oh, I thought you were pissed off at me because I didn't realize because there was no like happy face emoji. All of these things are so interesting in how we like, you know, communicate and interact in our world. And I love it.
I mean, how we interpret things. It's so important.
And it's fascinating.
We have to close it up now. But I got to say that when Laura told People Magazine, I would tell people, don't be too hasty just because your spouse is getting on your nerves during quarantine. It just shows, you know, Laura is looking at both sides. And I think we have to not be so negative about human relationships.
Right.
But there's a time and a place for a divorce. But there's also a time and a place to get along and to not freak out by the emoji that, you know, that you wanted to be on the text that wasn't there from
Wonderful
your spouse.
Wonderful advice. And Laura, I know that you've seen and you're fascinated by the human experience. And there's so many different types when you're married. And I thank you so much for your advice, which normally would be about, what, $40,000 to tell me to email him. So I am thrilled that you gave me that advice for free. And I am going to try that. I am going to try
Good.
That. I thank you kindly.
And,
right.
and write it and then leave it for a few hours and come back and read it with fresh eyes.
Okay.
Pretend you're him. Remember the golden rule. Do unto others. Think about how he, knowing him as you do, is going to read this and react to it.
Wonderful
Laura,
advice, Laura.
I want to wish you all the best in the new year, and thank you for being with us today.
Adore
and,
you.
And in the new, are you talking to me?
No, I'm saying to Laura.
Oh, sorry.
I adore her.
In the new year, Laura, you have to come back. I want to, you know, see you in person, and hopefully we can all get together and be back to a little more normal than ever. But thanks for
that
being
would
with
be
us.
Good.
Thank you, Laura,
thank
so
you
much.
Guys. All right. Happy New Year.
Thank
Happy
you. Same
New
to
Year.
You.
Dear. Thank
all right,
you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back right here on Gervie's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's
800-222-5222. Well, that's pretty cool, Wayman. I like that song. The Kings.
It's upbeat and happy.
I like it. Yes, this is our Christmas weekend show. I'm here with Jillian Barbary, and we are welcoming to the mic right now award-winning filmmaker who has a great series called Going Attractions. There's a couple of them, and there's a new one that just came out. She's got a real unique and different background, getting her MBA from Northwestern and having a successful business career before getting into filmmaking. April Wright? It's a tongue twister. April Wright, welcome
to After a few cocktails, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like this show has been cocktailed.
We've laughed, we've cried. Now I could cry that I don't go to the theater anymore.
I know. You know, it's interesting because I read a little bit about you, April, and you grew up as a film buff, as Jillian is. And I know, you know, when I talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark, last week we had, you saw it like 40 times. We had Frank Marshall on our show.
I saw that you had him on here, and I was like, I'm going to be in good company.
Mr.
Being on this
Raiders
show.
Of the Lost Ark. And just to say, Rocky, I know you love that movie as well. I showed my 7-year-old and 6-year-old Rocky last weekend.
What'd they think?
loved it. My son ran up the steps with his arms up when he had to
show Rocco that.
That's my favorite film. It really
of
is.
Of all
not,
time?
Yeah. Not only the movie, but just the way that it got made and how Stallone, you know, wanted to stay attached to it and be in it. It's just such an underdog story. I love it.
Mine is Scarface, Brian De Palma. I know. And I know Oliver Stone.
Not me.
And I know Brian De Palma's ex-wife. And I know all the behind the scenes. I've watched everything, like how it was made and how he,
I'm a huge De Palma fan.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's one of my favorite filmmakers of all time.
I
love him.
A student of film. I mean, to see this film, Going Attractions, the definitive story of the movie palace is really something.
Yeah.
And to hear Leonard Maltin talking about these movie palaces, it brought back so many memories.
For us.
Jillian and I, we went to those palaces.
Beautiful.
Tell us about the film and how you came about.
Well, the film is really...
I want to watch it today. I'm dying to see it because I grew up like... Exactly.
It's amazing.
So the first documentary I made was about drive-ins. So for me, this was kind of the natural follow-up.
I loved.
And drive-ins are back. Like we were talking about. Who would have ever thought that we'd all be going to drive-ins again?
And it's because of COVID. So we do have to thank COVID for that.
Well, I don't want to thank it, but go ahead.
And so doing the movie palaces was kind of the natural follow-up, sort of the whole, it's kind of the history of cinema, but from the point of view of where we go to see movies, how we experience them, and especially how important that, you know, crowd experience is to see films with people.
When people back in the day went to see something at the Pantages with the beautiful ceilings and the sconces and the chandeliers and the red seats, they dressed up. Now theater going, people wear sweats and Uggs and they recline their seats. It's a different experience.
But back then, people were getting an experience they couldn't have. People couldn't travel we can't travel now. You know, people couldn't travel to, you know, Africa or to Egypt Egypt or to, you know, Spain or whatever. So a lot of these places were designed to make you feel like you were walking into a different land, especially some of the theaters.
I never thought of that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
So a lot of them had themes like that to make you feel like you were really
going
somewhere.
Think about the Egyptian.
The
statues and when you'd walk. Exactly. That's so true.
And Leonard Maltin and some of the other people who comment talk about the money that was put into these
millions
palaces.
And millions of dollars in the teens. Yeah, it's incredible to think about how much money was spent, but that's how important the movies were to us.
Who were the people that had that kind of money to put in the...
Some of them were built independently, but it goes back to the studio system.
Okay.
So a lot of them were built by Paramount Warner,
got it.
Fox.
And Fox, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of them were built as part of the studio system. But yeah, when you think about that, that right on the verge of the Great Depression, that they were spending millions of dollars. But I kind of say as the tagline of the film, other countries built palaces for royalty. We built palaces to see movies. That was such an important thing for our country and our culture. And one of our biggest exports still are our films. And so, you know, when you put it in context, it was worth them to spend that money.
Do you think it's going to get back to normal after COVID?
There's so many things hitting the movie industry right now. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. They did just have theater relief in this last COVID, relief bill that Congress is signing today or whatever. So they are bringing some help to the theaters, but yeah, they're struggling.
Drive-ins are doing better, though.
But drive-ins are doing better.
People just aren't going to... films as much, you know, obviously
and
they're
the
watching.
And the studios stop releasing them to theaters, so there's not a lot of new product that's affecting it.
I have a question that, because I'm a cinephile, I get excited when I can pay $19 in my home and see something. And people are like, but it's not the theater experience. I said, I don't care. I'm a fan of movies and I will pay $25 so they don't have to. But then people say, no, that you can't. That'll ruin the movie going experience.
I always say it's a different experience because when I'm talked to people when I've been traveling with my films, if you saw Star Wars or something like that at a drive-in or at a movie palace, you know, you don't forget films that you saw
that way. It's a different experience.
Because it's not just the film itself. When you're at home streaming, and I watch everything at home too. I have everything, but you kind of, it all blends together. Like you don't necessarily remember what did I watch today last week.
You know, makes some sense. The times that I've gone to El Capitan, for instance, it's been an experience.
It implants a memory because it's a total experience.
Tell us what happened to the palaces because we don't see them as much. And what was the aftermath?
Yeah, well, we cover that in the film. Yeah. You know, a lot of them met their demise. A lot of people did not care so much about preservation in the 60s or in the 70s. So a ton of them ended up being built in downtowns that became sort of rundown neighborhoods. And a lot of them developers took over and they just got torn down without much fanfare at all.
Makes me sad. Yeah.
Or they were made into banks or foreign film.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, the ones that have survived, there's not many. I mean, we have the Chinese theater here, which is probably one of the only ones that has stayed in movie theater the whole time for 100 years.
And the film talks about that.
Right.
And
literally
the film industry,
for 100 years.
They like to do premieres there, thank God. Yes. I've done a ton of premieres there, and it's a really big event.
So we're lucky to have places like that here, but a lot of cities, they
just didn't save
them. Or if they did get saved, a lot of them are performing arts centers. Like you mentioned the Pantages, which we know for touring Broadway now, but that was built as a movie theater.
As a movie theater,
And a lot of places people go to see concerts. You know, if it says Fox, if it says Warner, if it says Paramount, it was built as a movie theater, even though you might be seeing a concert there today or a Broadway show.
What gave you the idea to do this? Because I'm listening, it's fascinating.
I love it.
Like we said, I'm a cinephile. I love going to films. My parents valued films, talked to us about what made them good. We went to films. I went to drive-ins. I went to movie palaces. And I just really wanted to know what happened to them. Like, how could, you know, the drive-ins and these places go into disrepair? How could they not be saved? How could people not value them? So I really wanted to explore that history is what got
I'm curious. Are you old enough to have the big speaker hook on the window at drive-ins?
Of course.
Okay, because you look younger. I was thinking, because nowadays somebody said to me, no, it's on the radio.
It's on the radio,
Alan was saying you wanted to see Elf and everything sold out, which makes me happy in a sense. I'm sorry.
A drive-in, right.
A drive-in. I'm really grateful they're back because they are an experience. Now, do you, as a cinephile, I mean, I grew up watching Black and Whites in Canada, and one of my favorites is Gaslight, you know, with Ingrid Bergman. Are you a cinephile like that? Do you like the Black and Whites? And
I didn't start start with those, but I have been catching up and watching those. They were showing at the Academy for a while. They had like a whole noir series. And I went to as many of those as I could. And especially films like that, if there's an opportunity to see them in a historic theater.
Wow, what an experience.
I'll try to do that, you know? Yeah. Like Lawrence of Arabia, I saw for the first time in a big old movie palace.
Oh, wow.
So if I'm going to see films that I haven't seen yet that are famous films or, you know, I'll try to. I'll look for the, when, you know, because the Egyptian shows a lot of old films. And luckily in LA, we have a lot of opportunities to do that. So I'll try to do that.
Yeah.
Was it emotional to, you know, you're talking about this, like have Leonard Maltin and some of the other people who are featured who talk about the movie palaces. For you making this film, was it emotional?
Of course, because when you walk, well, first of all, there were several that I wanted to shoot in. Leonard Maltin is shot in the United Artists, which is now part of Ace Hotel.
Yeah.
And that one is so historic because it was United Artists. Mary Pickford had a hand in designing that theater. So, you know, the historic significance there is huge.
Also, I just watched the Herb Alpert film and he bought.
I want to see that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I haven't seen it yet, but
it's
wonderful. My dad was a big Herb Alpert.
Oh,
we had those records on all the time growing up.
My God, I still have the green one, the girl with whipped cream. But he bought Charlie Chaplin's old, and it's in that documentary.
We're
Charlie Chaplin around. So, you know, sometimes the lineage continues, thank God, but I just get so sad when it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, like one of the theaters in the film, the Uptown in Chicago, you know, I had to work really hard to get him to give me access to that. It's been closed since the 80s.
The owner, you mean? You had to work hard?
Yes, and the guy who owns it, he takes very good care of it to make sure that people don't get inside and get vandalized.
Okay.
And, you know, things that sometimes happen to these theaters that have been closed for a long time. He's protective of it. And so when I finally, you know, talked to him and talked my way in, he was so glad that I did. And he loves being part of the film.
But it's not a working theater?
It's been closed since the 80s.
Oh,
and it's magnificent.
Shame.
It has almost 6,000 seats. It's one of the biggest ever built.
Will he sell to somebody who would reopen?
He's trying to raise the money to bring it back
and the
glory.
Film is a little bit of a selling piece for him.
Oh, that's wonderful.
People can see it. You know, it's just, there's so much.
But yeah, it makes me sad sometimes to go in them and see them in that shape. And you're like, this needs to come back.
I had the honor of co-hosting the Academy Awards red carpet with Leonard Maltin, and standing beside him and looking at these stars and being on the red carpet.
He's great.
He's incredible. His daughter was there.
He looks great too. He doesn't age.
He's wonderful.
Right.
In the film, I was looking at him and saying, why does he look so good?
I can't wait to see it.
You know, everyone has to see this. If you have any interest in film,
how do I
it's
see
called,
it?
Yeah. Going Attractions, the definitive story of the movie palace, and April Wright will tell us how everyone can see it.
It's just everywhere on VOD streaming. So if you go on Amazon, if you go on Google Play, if you go on Apple iTunes, everywhere
you
can find it.
I love documentaries. Those are my favorites.
Yeah,
so
you
got to
see
it.
Is there another Going Attractions going to come out? Because we had the, if you haven't seen the Drive-In documentary.
Yeah, the Drive-In one is on Amazon Prime
and
right
now. And what about in the future?
Yeah. Well, I want to go a little sideways from theaters. My family business growing up, my family had a roller skating rink. So I want to do roller rinks. And I want to do bowling alleys,
you
and I want to
do
like mom and pop amusement parks. So those are like
speaking
the next
my
in the
language,
series.
Girlfriend. Yeah. Well, I grew up roller skating.
Yeah, so they're
Thank
all things
you.
That we used to have going away.
Thank you so much. We're going to look forward to that. We appreciate you coming in today.
April.
Everyone should see the film.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And we're wishing everyone a happy new year. We'll see you in 2021.
Wow.
Jillian,
happy new year. Thank
thanks
you, Alan.
Thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure. I love hanging out with you, April.
All the best in the new year.
Thank you. I loved it. Thank you.
We got to have some good stuff like movies to be able to go back into the theaters and the palaces.
Yes, we have to.
We'll see you next week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.